When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Want to witness the world's biggest football game? Head to iCanWin.com.au, predict Australia's score with a crystal ball, and it could be you and a friend at the FIFA World Cup Qatar 2022 semi-finals, all thanks to McDonald's. Maccas, together and loving it. TNCs apply.
Let's go through them in chronological order, starting with Jake Kelly to Essendon. Not really much to score in the way of this. He signs as an unrestricted free agent. Adelaide get a third round compensation at the time with pick 42.
That's a really good pick for Adelaide, 42, I think. Look, honestly, I didn't have Jake Kelly in Adelaide's best team next year. I had their defensive Jones, Brody Smith, Murray, Butts, Dawson and Doda. Mm. And I'm going, I can't fit him in their defence.
So do you think that this is a smart move from Kelly, read the tea leaves, him and his manager find a club that had a need, Essendon's identified, Essendon's reciprocal. So this is smart from the player and the manager.
I'm wondering if he knew about Dawson coming in and going, I'm vulnerable, and, you know, his manager's got on his bike and found a club. Essendon, their defence looked really settled there, but they're really attacking defence, Essendon, so they're probably looking for a real lockdown, and that's what he can do. He can lock down really good. He brings professionalism. Mm. He brings character. He brings spirit morale to a footy club. I know that. He doesn't bring using the ball running out of defence. So he's a good lockdown. Whether he plays every week will be debatable. But I think a good deal for both parties. 42 is a good pick for him.
It was an area where they needed a bit more depth in.
I think they needed a taller, though. They needed someone. We're not banking on Hurley coming back, are we?
It'd be good to get an update on Hurley. I know there was one provided recently, and the details of which are escaping me at the moment, so I won't...
Zach Smith's a skinny kid. He'll play some games, but he's really... Cody Brand's the same. They're a fair way off playing a full season in defence. So they're a bit light on in defence. Laverde did a super job playing on tools.
He was one of the most improved players in the competition this
and James
year.
Stewart went from full forward to full back to cover. So I thought they probably needed a tall back like a Talia to hold up for a year or two while Zach Smith and Cody Brand get up to speed.
Zach Reed?
Zach Reed, yeah. Yeah, the big fella. Yeah. Plays like Harris Andrews, Zach Reed.
So that's massive raps.
Yeah, he's very similar, long, lean, beautiful kick, good mark, but he's a way off getting the body to play on the big fellas in AFL level, yep.
All right, so the next trade that was done, Marvior Chol signs at the Gold Coast as an unrestricted free agent. Ooh. So, yeah, it's hard to call a winner or loser in this, although this is one we probably can, given what unfolded for Richmond over the rest of the trade period.
Yep. Good pick, 38. They got for
they
that.
They got as compensation.
Great pick, and they protected it by getting the Tarrant trade done instead of losing that pick if Tarrant had to come in as a free agent.
Yep.
So they did really well, Richmond, but we'll get to them. But Chol really helps take the pressure off Ben King up forward,
yep.
And he gives good backup ruck. We know he can ruck, and he'll ruck with Witzelby back. That's an area where they had diabolical trouble. They lost their backup ruck and their backup ruck.
Do you love him as a ruckman because he's a different type? He adds a different dynamic as a ruck with what he does.
He can ruck. He moves around the ground. He can find the ball. He's got good disposal. And he'll fly for the ball in the air in the forward line. So it takes Ben King had to take all the tools, all the best backs this year with no real support because...
somehow couldn't get in the top 10 of their best
Sam Day couldn't... Yeah. Which shocked me. God. Sam Day, you know, didn't come in till well after halfway during the year. So great decision to get Chol and cost him nothing.
So this was where we can start to maybe appoint a bit of a winner or a loser in each trade, or is it a break even? Carlton get George Hewitt as a restricted free agent. Sydney don't match that. They get an end of second round compensation pick. So so from what we're led to believe, it's around 450 reportedly a year on a 4-year deal. for George Hewitt, who in 2019 did come second in their best and fairest.
He did?
Yep.
Okay. I think everyone's surprised that he got 4 years at Carlton, George Hewitt, considering basically he's been a tagger for the last 2 or 3 years, done a great job doing it.
Mm.
So Carlton are going to go with the tagger, or we haven't seen him play without tagging for a long, long while.
He is a tagger that finds it himself.
He can find it, George.
Much in our esteemed colleague, the Kane Corn sort
of
mold. Yes.
Well, I'll tell you what he will do. He'll give them a hard edge, and they need that.
Yep.
But
they do.
I think we're really surprised about the 4 years. And the compensation, I think, is reasonable. What pick did you say that
pick
was?
39.
Yeah, but he's probably been a better player than 39. It was probably somewhere in the 20s. But the way the system works, it was going to be after their second round. He was a second round. He's going to be after the second round pick. Because they finished up in the top six, it's out of 39. So probably a bit of a loser for Swans and even a bit of a loser for Carlton in that he's expensive and long-term for Hewitt.
Yeah, and I did a comparison after the Luke Dunstan pickup from Melbourne, which I think, and I'm looking forward to getting your opinion, and we'll come to this. I think it's one of the most astute pieces of business done.
Mm.
One of the most astute pieces of business done, I should say, to speak correctly. I know Gary will probably be on to me about that. One of the more astute pieces of business done through the period because he cost Melbourne nothing.
Mm.
They don't give up anything for him, and it's a 2-year deal, and I can't imagine it's at a heap. No. But I did a little compare the pair on Dunstan and Hewitt, with all due respect to Hewitt, who as I've just said, was second in a best and fairest in 2019. Dunstan, on paper and the numbers for the season, much better. And except disposal efficiency, which Hewitt is actually elite. He's 79% disposal efficiency. Dunstan, not so much. He's at 66. But even when you stack up his numbers this year with Chera, the most sought after signature, for the here and now, obviously Chera has a much higher ceiling. His numbers this year stack up quite nicely against Chera's as well.
The interesting thing with Hewitt for me is they've got the best free bloke out of contract next year, and that's going to be out of contract. Well, maybe the Goey Moore might challenge that in Walsh.
Mm.
And he's going to command close to $1 million.
Mm.
You would hope like hell that you can be able to pay. I'm sure they're budgeted to pay upwards of that for Walsh, and that Hewitt doesn't bite into that. You'd be devastated if you lost him because of that.
They've already got a squeeze. And we'll get to Adam Chera too, but we know that six players reportedly took pay cuts to get the Chera deal done.
That's what we heard, yeah.
That's been reported, which is a great sign of a culture change at Carlton with Brian Cook and Michael Voss, because they know that's what it's taken for them to have success where they've had success in their life. And we'll talk more about that.
Is that too much pressure to put on a 22-year-old knowing that six players have taken cuts to fit you in?
I think it's the opposite. I think he comes with all the warm and fuzzies. Like, look at this playing group that have done that for me. Mm. I can't wait to help repay that faith.
Yeah.
They are so keen to have me that they've shown literally how much it meant to them to have me.
Yep.
So I sort of go the other way. You're better placed than I, and it would depend on the club.
It's just an opinion which no one can answer. There's no right, there's no wrong.
All right. Hey, so we're only a fraction of the way through the deals that have been done. This is SEN Trade Deadline. The deadline has passed, but we will keep going. We will talk you through each of the trades that have been done. Matty Rendell will give us his view on who won that one and who lost, or whether it was a break-even deal. We're going to go through every club. Matty Rendell's going to give them a grade. We'll rank them in terms of the needle move. This is SEN Trade Deadline for Tyre Power, number one on the trade table. Welcome back to SEN Trade Deadline. Sam Hargraves, Matt Rendell with you for Tyre Power, number one on the trade table. 1-300-736-736 to give us your view on everything that's transpired over the last couple of weeks. So 0433 98 11 16. You can text us on the temper text at any stage as well. We're walking through each deal in chronological order so far, and we've only just got through the free agency period. When we finally got the first trade, Matty, of this trade period, and this should have been the clue to us that this trade period may not have been as dynamic as last. We were spoilt last year, let's be honest, with the big names that were on the move and the deals that were done. But when the first actual trade was Collingwood receives a second round pick, 2 third-round picks and a 5th-round pick and a future 4th-round selection. Gold Coast receive a future 2nd-round selection, a future 3rd-round selection and a future 4th-round selection. Yes, that was to make sure they had enough points for Nick Daicos, but we really should have known then and there that this probably wasn't going to reach the heights.
Oh, yeah. So, well, Collingwood were obviously needing points badly. They had 1,700, but if Daicos got nominated 2nd-round, they were going to need 2,000, so they're a bit shy. So they did this deal, and they picked up 22 in the process. So this was a great win for Collingwood, mainly because they got the pick 22, which has become valuable, and we'll talk about that later. So they got enough points to get Daicos in. They got enough points to get Lipinski and Kruger in, as well as getting Daicos. So it was a big win for... So they would have targeted... So Gold Coast Suns got all these picks probably last year in the draft. They're all future picks. But they haven't got enough players, spots on their list to put players in for the picks they had. So they were always going out. It just depends who got in first, whether it was going to be Bulldogs for Darcy or Collingwood. And Collingwood got in first. Doesn't surprise me. Derek Hine, bang. So the coup de grace was the pick 22. They had enough points, so they did something with that. They swapped it for pick 27 for Freo and got their – so they swapped out their 2nd and 3rd-round future picks, and they got back their 3rd-round pick by dropping back 5 spots to 27, which they still have. This was a great win by Collingwood, and it wasn't a loss by Gold Coast Suns because they weren't going to use these picks anyway.
So you're judging that one a draw?
No, Collingwood had a great win here.
Oh, so you think –
oh, they didn't – but it was a win against the system.
Are we going to go with a win-win?
No, well, it's a win-win. It was a win against the system, not against Gold Coast Suns.
1-300-736-736-0433-98-11-16. This is some nice feedback for you, Matty. Hi, Sam. I've been listening to your show tonight, and I just wanted to say the guy, Matt, you are talking with is sensational. What a great analytical mind, and is really thorough. Kind regards, David in Narromburn.
Oh, okay. Thanks to my son there for sending that. David, much appreciated. Thanks very much for that. I normally only get bad ones, so that's good to get a positive one.
It is. I suppose that you know that you've reached a certain level of acclaim and fame, Matt Rindell, when you've got a Twitter parody account.
Supposedly. look, I'm not on social media anywhere. So, you know, once a day my boys give me the best line or best feedback on there. It's usually around mispronouncing someone's names, and I say to the boys, mate, I'm trying to remember 800 players' surnames and their Christian names.
What year
names.
They were drafted, what pick they were drafted, how long left to go on
saying,
their contract.
So the bloke's contract was 2 years and not one. I said, come on, you blokes, give me a spelling. I said, no one's got this. And then they said, oh, you mispronounced Zuhar's name. And I said, well, I'm not Dennis Cometti. I'm not commentating. I'm just talking about players. we have a bit of fun. They give me a bit of feedback, the boys.
I love it. You were talking about Graham Wright and the shrewd business that he just did with the very first trade of this
and
draft.
Derek Hine. Don't forget, Derek Hine's big time into this stuff.
Absolutely. And really experienced in this space of both of those men. Phil in Bayswater, who wanted to speak about exactly that. G'day, Phil.
G'day, gents. Matty, great work, mate. Made the trade period bearable, mate. for Collingwood, I think it's just great to have someone that can play the game and is strategic during this time of year, because in the past, we just haven't been strategic and stable. And as a Collingwood supporter that bled all of last year, this just gives us a little bit of hope. But it shows forward planning done right and the ability to negotiate both for the now and the present. I think it's a stupid job by Wrighty and pretty promising. I might have to go and line up for some granny tickets already.
Yeah, look, they made some mistakes. There's no doubt about that. And, that salary cap stuff. I mean, I felt sorry for the Collingwood people. They're bleeding over that. Their club, they would have thought their club's got destroyed in one year. So they're going to climb themselves out of it. They got some great young kids. They went to the draft last year. They had to. They had no choice. They went straight to the draft. They picked up some really good kids. And the reason they got these good kids is because it was sight unseen. They didn't play a game last year, these players. So they took the gamble. And I think, obviously, a Collingwood supporter, you would have seen, you know, your McRae, your Henry, Oliver Henry, Poulter and the likes play, and they've still got some who haven't played. Finn McGuinness, Liam McMahon. There's a kid they picked up mid-season draft in Begg. They got, I think it's Aiden Begg, could be a tall forward. So they're going to recover really quick, and they're still, their senior players are in good nick. So for at least a couple of years, so I can see them climbing into the eight next year. They won't know themselves with the new regime there. They'll be so happy.
Beautifully done. Thank you so much, Phil. Really appreciate the call. 1-300-736-736 is the number. We're working through every trade in chronological order and the wrap-up from it. And we'll give you the view from the people involved as well when we come back through. A little later on, Matty will go through each club and give them a grade, and we will see which trade moved the needle the most for the club in which that player got to. This is Trade Deadline. On SEN, 1-300-736-736 for Tyre Power, number one on the trade table. Sam Hargraves, Matt Rendell with you. Trade period officially over. We're walking through each of the trades in chronological order. Love to get your view on it too as we recap the deals that have been done. We'll go through each club too and find out from Matt Rendell, our list expert, whether teams were able to fill a need, whether they've been left holding the baby, or whether they're going to need something really special to unfold for them at draft in order to improve on next season. This show never complete without your view. 1-300-736-736 or 0433-98-1116 off the temper text. So we've gone through the deals. Jake Kelly, the first one to go in free agency, spoke about joining the Essendon Football Club from Adelaide.
Was sort of aware that it was going to happen over the last few weeks, so I was preparing for it. But yeah, for it to finally happen and finally put on an Essendon polo has been very special, and I'm very, very excited. I've been in Adelaide for 8 years, and obviously the pull of Melbourne has been quite strong throughout those 8 years. And luckily, an opportunity came up during this year with Essendon, and I wanted to look into it. I've been very fortunate here in Adelaide. I've had a great time here. I've met a lot of fantastic people and have really enjoyed the club. The time just felt right to go back to Melbourne, and Essendon really appealed to me. The club's in a fantastic position, I feel. Everyone who's involved with the club speaks very highly of it, of where it's going, and you can see that externally as well. So it was a very easy decision in the end. I'm very, very glad it's turned out how it has.
Marby Orchard, the next free agency deal done, heading to the Gold Coast Suns from the Tigers, who got pick 38. He had this to say about his move to the Suns.
Obviously my manager, Ralph, has been doing a lot of work behind closed doors and just trying to find a club where I could actually get a really good opportunity with my football and take it to the next level. And, Gold Coast was probably, the club that I wanted to go to, and my parents also wanted me to go to. And to able to actually go there now and to be a Suns player, it's exciting. And yeah, obviously speaking to Stewie Jew made it a lot easier too, and spoke to Big Jarrett Witts as well. So with them guys, it's been a lot easier transition.
Marby Orchol on his move to the Suns. George Hewitt, the other free agency deal done before we got into the trade period, and he spoke about why he chose to go to the Blues from the Swans.
I just think the main reason was just Carlton's list. I know it's such a talented list, and hopefully they can build on another strong pre-season, then go out start next year and play some real good footy. And I just think there's a lot of talent there, especially in their spine with Harry Mackay, Jacob Wiedering, and then you got Cripps and Walshy in the middle. So I see there's a lot of talent in the team. So that was the main reason.
So Matt Rendell, we spoke about the first trade that was done was the exchange of picks between the Pies and the Suns, which means they can shore up Nick Dacos if and when a bid comes. The first player traded was actually Nathan Kruger, who went to the Pies. They got a third round pick as well, currently 55. Geelong got a third round pick, currently pick 41. Only two games at the Cats. Nathan Kruger, who was originally recruited as a forward, but then played his two games as a defender, and now taken by Collingwood, who believe that that's what they want him to be, a key forward prospect.
Yeah, look, he's an interesting player. Nathan, isn't it? Yeah, Nathan, yep. Kruger. Very athletic, 197 centimetres, forward back, good left foot kick, the only knock on his game is he competitive enough? And that was the knock that Scarlett gave him about playing in defence. I'm not sure you're competitive enough to play down there. He needs to get better in that area, but he can certainly play. He will help out them forward and back. Interesting that that tells you one thing, that Darcy Moore's going to play back, doesn't it? Straight away, if he's going to play forward with either Cox or Cameron, or, and my check, you can't play Cox and Cameron in that team. So, interesting player. He'll get a good look at it for the first time in his career at 22, 23. He'll get a good look. They'll play him every week, bar injury. And hopefully if he gets 15 games in a row that he really shows what he can do. Some players just need to play 15 in a row and feel comfortable at the level and they can skyrocket. And he might just be one of those players.
I'm really keen to make sure that we can make this guy into a cult hero. I spoke about it on the show the other week. A lot of people going with the simple Freddy Krueger. Yeah, I understand that. But if you're a Seinfeld fan, then you remember Mr. Krueger from Krueger Industrial Smoothing. and when the R dropped off the name Krueger from outside the building, this was his response to that.
You're not going out on a high note with me, Mr. Krueger.
It's Kruger.
I want Cayuga to echo around the MCG every time that Nathan gets the ball. I think we can make that something, Matt.
Will the millennials get that one, or is it more our ilk?
Well, see, this is the thing. Seinfeld's now on Netflix, so there'll be people that are finding it for the
first time, okay.
Yep. The new – something Bob and Andy were talking about the other day, the new Sopranos movie, The Many Saints of Newark, has now got all the millennials.
Oh, is that a Sopranos movie? Okay.
It's the prequel movie to the Sopranos.
Oh, is it really? Okay.
So now, apparently, as we digress ever so slightly, now a lot of the millennials are finding the Sopranos for the first time, going, what is this? And we're saying, this is the show that changed the face of television forever. There wouldn't be a Netflix if there hadn't been HBO's Sopranos, The Wire, and probably The West Wing as well. Changed the face of television.
Yeah, that's that's good. I didn't know all that sort of stuff. You're obviously right into it.
Well, but we've gone down a rabbit hole.
I did watch all the Seinfelds and my favourite, Newman. Massive Newman. Hello, Newman. We
did have someone text in at the time and say, can't wait to see if Krueger plays on Newman. And then who else can we get in that's got a Seinfeld name in the AFL? We digress ever so slightly. The next deal that was done, so Nathan Krueger gets to the Pies. This was one that probably shocked us a little, Matty, that Jeremy Finlayson asked to be traded. Port Adelaide were happy to take him. Port Adelaide got Jeremy Finlayson, and the Giants receive a future third-round selection. It was sort of done with a minimum of fuss. This was Jeremy Finlayson on leaving the Giants.
Me and my partner, Kelly, we just had a little baby girl. She's 7 weeks old, and we wanted to find some family support, and I didn't have much in Sydney, and we looked around, and, Port Adelaide showed some interest, and we got the deal done today, and I'm over the moon, and, I'm pretty speechless.
So he's really happy.
Yep.
The interesting thing now is with Latham's gone, it probably saves Port Adelaide a headache that they already had about the makeup of their forward six with Dixon, Marshall, and Georgiades. So what happens now with Finlayson? Does he play as a defender?
First things first, Dixon's got to go back and be the part-time ruckman, which they really didn't want to do. Although Port Adelaide said, Finlayson can do some ruck work. Well, I haven't seen him do it very well at GWS. Mm. Yeah, I know he did do it, but not very well. And depends how long you want. Scotty Lysett does a lot of the ruck work anyway. So you might not have to do much, but Todd Marshall's got to push up in that area and be able to do some too. But they can't play the four, surely, because you're going to play Fantasia and Gray and Rosie in the forward line. They're trying to recontract Motlop. I don't know how he fits in, but I'm not sure they can go back to the four tools in the forward line. Georgiades is going to be number two, Dixon one. It'll be out of Marshall or Finlayson who fills that other spot, I would have thought. So he's no moral to play every week, but he should be happy about going back home. I think his partner's from Port Lincoln, and so she's closer to her family.
Beautifully done. Matt Rendell with us on Trade Deadline for Tyre Power. Tyre Power's Australia's biggest independent tyre retailer, keeping you safe on the roads. Tyrepower.com.au. I really like this contribution off the text. I do like it when people contribute to the text line with something actually meaningful rather than just bitching and moaning, which some are more inclined to do, adding really nothing to the tenor of the show or the debate or conversation. maybe like you, Gary. This has come through from someone off the text. Kruger's old man was a scarily competitive country player. It's in the young fella somewhere.
Oh, okay.
So there
I
we
didn't
go.
Know that. So
a little bit
I'm
of insight.
Trying to think. He's from South Australia, I think, isn't he?
Yep.
Kruger, yeah, from – is it South – He might. I got a feeling it's either Sturt or South Adelaide. Starts with an S, so I got a feeling, but don't hold me to that.
We'll double check that in just a moment. Now, Matty Rendell working beautifully. We're only partway through the deals that have been done as we recap them chronologically. Your input always absolutely asked for, required, and appreciated. 1-300-736-736-0433-98-1116 on the Temper text. Temper, a mattress like no other. When we come back, the next deal that was done was a deal that I spoke about at the time, Matty, thinking it was one of the more astute pieces of business done. I want to get your thoughts on the Luke Dunstan pickup by Melbourne. We'll do that next.
People obviously going to say the chatter probably will be that you're not going to get a game. You'd be playing in the twos anyway. But obviously, I'm going to back myself in. I'm in a comfortable spot of where my footy's at. And speaking of Goody, he's already sort of spoken about them. Really focusing on my strengths, and that's something that I'm excited by. And yeah, I'm obviously just going to get in there and work my backside off. And if it is that I'm not in the ones, it's not the be all or end all. And I'm just going to be excited to be a part of a happy group that are hopefully playing good for you and winning games.
Luke Dunstan, former Saint, 11 Brownlow votes in 12 games. Didn't think that Brett Ratton rated him. Was not offered a new contract and finds his way to Melbourne. Welcome back to the SEN trade deadline for Tyre Power. Family safety is never up for trade. We're working through each trade of the trade period for 2021 in chronological order. And Matt Rendell, we're up to Luke Dunstan being taken by Melbourne as an unrestricted free agent. As I said, going into the break, reckon it's one of the more astute pieces of business done for this trade period. Cost them nothing. Probably aren't paying him very much, a two-year deal, and he strengthens an already very strong midfield. But this is a guy that I think people underrate, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this. He ranks above average or elite in everything you want a midfielder to do.
I love what he's just said then. That's the first time I heard that. That's outstanding. He's backing himself in. He knows he's going into a great club at the moment. So they've turned that place around real quick. Credit to Goody and his team. Everyone at the club, really. And their leadership. So on the surface, it looks, what the hell? What are you doing, Dunstan? You know, you're not going to get a game there. So you've got to look at a bit differently, I think, here. So they're loaded up with inside mids. So Brayshaw is an inside mid playing on a wing. You got Petrarca inside mid playing half forward or playing the dusty role, basically. Mid forward, you got Harms, Viney and Oliver playing as their other inside mids. Don't quite know where you see Sparrow. He's probably an in and out, mid of more of a runner. So they're loaded up in that area. They got their outside runner in Langdon in, which was great. They bought Bowie in, who really helped them with their run and disposal off halfback. So it got me thinking, what's Melbourne's thinking here? And then I thought, maybe they're going to use Oliver and Petrarca, those two in particular, in different spots. Like maybe throw him half back in a game, maybe play him out on the wing, play him as half forward. Instead of having to do the heavy lifting all year, they're going to come under a fair bit of scrutiny, those two blokes, during the year. Everyone knows they're integral to Melbourne's success. Let's take some pressure off them for the first half of the year, play them in different positions. They can play there. They're guns. They'll play anywhere. So let Viney, Harms, Dunstan do a bit of heavy lifting during the year. He won't play every game, but he might play 10, he might play 12. And you get to the end of the year, you get an injury or two and he gets in. So I like the move on both sides here. Whether he plays or not is debatable, but he's certainly going to add to them. But I can see what St Kilda did as well. They've got Gresham coming back into the midfield. They got Jones, Steele and Crouch as their main. Gresham coming back and they've gone for Seb Ross in front of Dunstan and probably think he's superfluous to our needs.
The other thing that I loved about it was that Melbourne have said, we think that you can improve too. So That's a great place to start in a relationship, isn't it? We think we can make you a better player, and we think you can make us a better team. And the knock on him is his disposal, so 66%. But Christian Petrarca goes at 60%.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not I know that Christian Petrarca is one of the best.
Buckley, one of the great kicks, went at 60-something percent because you're always under pressure in the midfield. Yep. And a lot of times you're kicking the ball where you haven't got much vision and you're blasting it forward because you're under so much pressure. So that happens. But it was his kicking in open play that was his Achilles heel early in his career. But I didn't see that this year him playing his kicking in open play had improved unbelievably.
And he's going to a club that had this issue with Clayton Oliver, who's now become one of the best kicks going inside forward 50 in a competition. So the work he's going to do. So, yeah, Jack Viney as well. And those two people, they credit Mark Williams and Adam Uze. And also Jordan Lewis has helped with it.
Another one. Ed Langdon, he could spray him.
So, yeah, he might have that deficiency, but he's gone to a club that has corrected this deficiency in several other players.
Mm.
So if they do get hit by injuries... This is a guy that knows how to win the ball. And as I said to you, I did a little compare the pair. And again, this is not a knock on George Hewitt because we all think that that's a good piece of business. Maybe 4 years is too much.
Yep.
But the money's about right and he's a good get. Well, when you look at their numbers in comparison, and this is their averages because Hewitt played 21 games and Luke Dunstan played the 12. But he averages 5 inside 50s a game, does Dunstan, compared to 1.5. He averages... he had 2 goal assists to 5 goal assists, but when you counter in the extra games, he averages 4.5 score involvements a game to 3.3 for Hewitt, 4.9 tackles to 3.4. And when you work their way down the possessions, 25.3 disposals to 17.9. Yep, George Hewitt has a 79% disposal efficiency, which is a big difference to the 66 for Luke Dunstan. Contested possessions, 11 to 7. Uncontested, 13 to 11. Intercepts, he still gets those, 3.8 to 3.4. He marks the ball more. His clearance numbers, he averages 2 centre clearances a game to Hewitt's 0.9 and 3.8 stoppage clearances to 1.6. So the things you want in your midfielders, he's either above average or elite.
Yep. He's
except disposal.
Yep. So, look, I think it's a canny move, but only time will tell. He might not be able to get in that team, but right here, right now, I think it's smart where they can do a bit of, not necessarily protection, but take some load off their guns.
There's some great texts coming through, 0433 98 11 16 off the temper text. Malcolm's been waiting patiently in Highbury. G'day, Malcolm.
G'day, boys. Look, just to add another point to your discussion then about Luke Dunstan. You never hear, I'm yet to hear a bad word said about him around the footy traps. I think they're partly recruited. Let's be honest, premiership sides quite often fall away because of attitude. Nothing else, you know. You've scaled the highest mountain, 57 years. Right? I think that's what they've recruited him for. That they're going to recruit a guy whose attitude and outlook is fantastic, and he'll drive them at training.
Extremely good point. You're thinking it's an astute recruit because he's going to keep those blokes on their toes.
Well, look at this is Malcolm. It's a really smart point. Go back and look at the last couple of young teams to win a premiership. The Dogs in 2016. What happened after that?
Disaster.
Hawthorn in 2008. What happened after that? It's a great point, Malcolm. You've got another one for us on Sydney.
Yeah, look, I think let's be honest. Dawson had been a reasonable player, has a breakout year, comes third in the BNF, but it's 1 year. Now, I think actually getting draft choice at the end of the first round, well, it's 17, 18, 19, whatever it is in that regard, then I think that's quite reasonable. I found it quite amusing the way Sydney have sort of acted like since they've been really hard done by and stitched up by Adelaide. Now, if they came... you know, second or third in the BNF 2 or 3 years, bloody oath. But not 1 year. I reckon that's about right. If anything, I reckon Adelaide is slightly over.
No, you've spot on there. You know, I spoke to a few recruiters and they thought bottom of the first round is about where he sits. I thought 20 to 25, but they thought around there, and that's what they ended up getting. You assume Melbourne's going to be 15 to 18 next year. I made a point to Charlie Gardner on Trade Radio today. I said, I suppose you Swannies blokes would love to play Melbourne next year and beat them twice. So So that, so they fall down the ladder. I said, I wouldn't mind having a bet on you blokes against Melbourne. So they could drop down the ladder a bit and that pick becomes even better. So, no, they got it right, and I can't believe it took a week for it to happen.
Future first-round pick for Dawson. We'll get to that eventually. But as we go through these in chronological order on SEN trade deadline for Tyre Power, family safety is never up for trade. Dawson, though, I don't know if we're underselling. When you look at, again, I'm looking at numbers.
Mm.
He's got a kicking efficiency of 76.3, so we know he's lethal. By foot. He's elite for inside 50s for his position, elite for effective kicks. He ranks elite for disposals in his position. Kicks per game as well as effective disposals. Those kind of players, Matty, especially when Adelaide like to play a run-and-gun style and take the game on, move it quickly, he's going to fit into that building structure, I think, really well. Hold that thought, though. We've got to take a break and come back, and we'll keep rolling through these, and you can respond to my summation of Jordan Dawson. I think I can see why Sydney were so disappointed to see him go and so keen to hold on to him. Your calls, 1300 736 736. We're working through each of these trades chronologically. Matty will go through whether each club was able to fill their needs that they would have had coming into this period and where they're situated at the end of it. That's all still to come on the SEN trade deadline for Tyre Power. Sam Hargraves and Matt Rendell with you. Trade deadline for Tyre Power. Family safety is never up for trade. As we're working through chronologically the deals that were done in this period, we got the mega pick swap was the next deal done after Melbourne secured Luke Dunstan as unrestricted free agent. So just to recap on that, at the time, St Kilda received two fourth-round picks, currently 62, 66, and a future fourth. Adelaide got a fourth-round pick, currently 75. Adelaide got a second-round pick, currently 33, and a future first-rounder, which was important. Western Bulldogs receive a third-round pick, currently 45. The Bulldogs also got a second-round pick and a third-round pick, 23 and 44. Melbourne got a third-round pick, currently 49. A second-round pick, currently 37. And a first-round pick, number 17. Now, there's a lot of lot of detail in that, quite intricate, Matt Rendell. But when you look at that, what's the thing we need to be most aware of?
Well, it was Bulldogs getting the points for Sam Darcy was the key to this. I couldn't work out why Saints were in the deal, but anyway, they were in the deal. I think they were bored. So, but the rest were basically a break square. Melbourne moved up, I think what was their best was 30, I think, into 17, but gave up some futures. So that, they're going to back themselves to get a good player at that 17 in the draft this year. But essentially it was about Bulldogs getting that 17 out because it would have got gobbled up by the Sam Darcy pick and getting enough points in, which they didn't quite get enough, but they did get some points in and a swap of all those, you know, futures. The future, I just want to go through this future third and fourth stuff, and I can't work out why people are trading future fourths. The end of the third round is 54.
Mm-hmm.
So the end of the fourth round, first round, second round, third round, end of third round's that. So you're talking about picks round 60 something or other. Now, it might be valuable this year, but maybe not next year because I don't know if there's too many father-sons, NGAs, academy players next year. I haven't done any homework. I haven't spoken to people about that. But this year, there'll be at least 8 picks go out. So if you've got pick 60, that could come into 52. That's extremely valuable for picking players at the back end because of Darcy and Dacos. All those picks will just get wiped off Collingwood and Bulldogs. But next year, I'm not too sure. Maybe that. They would know better than me, and maybe that's why they're putting in there. I just haven't been able to do any homework on it yet, which I'll try and do over the break and find out how many. I think Sydney might have a couple of good academy kids, but I don't know about NGAs and other father sons.
0433 98 11 16 off the Temper text. Temper, a mattress like no other. Brett saying no text being read at all. Brett, we will. We're going to work our way through a heap of those. There's a good text from Gary that I want to read in just a moment when we get to the Jordan Dawson trade. And you get the chance to just give us your view on where he sits as a player. We're going through these chronologically, though. Feel free to get involved at any point, 0433 98 11 16. So the next deal that got done, Matty, on the 7th of October was Frio. Now, this was all to do with the deal that got done within the last hour of today, the Jordan Clark deal. So Fremantle got pick 22.
Yep.
Collingwood got pick 27.
Yep.
And a future third round selection.
So Collingwood gave up future second and third when they did that deal with the Gold Coast. So Gold Coast ploughed into next year again with picks. So getting that 22, I said it'd be valuable, or it got them back into the third round. So Collingwood are still sitting there with that 27. They'll do something with that because it get gobbled up by Dacos. So it's got some a real good value on it. But it allowed the Cats, were asking for between 8 and 27, but really, realistically, they were asking for something between 15 and 25. He was picked at 15 a few years ago. So they got the 22 to appease the Cats. So that's part A of getting Jordan Clark.
We'll get to part B, the next deal that was done. And this was...
That's a tick for both.
Tick for both.
Tick for both.
So this one, I think, too, is also a tick for both teams involved. The Gold Coast really proactive here, knowing, one, they've got full confidence in the list that they've got. And there's a question here, and Maddie, thanks off the text. Sorry, this is Dan off the text. And I've got this parked here to ask you as well, which I'll do at the end of this. Gold Coast receive a future second-round selection and a future fourth-round selection. There's that future fourth, Matty. But Fremantle, they took Will Brody and the contract that was alleged to be around $400K a year. They got a second-round pick, that pick 19, that coveted pick 19, and two fourth-round picks, currently 61 and 69. So we're starting to see now, Matty, and we almost saw a deal getting done where a third party was brought in to cover salary. This is a little bit like that. Getting rid of a salary as much as it is a player and having to give a cherry to take it in that pick 19.
This is gold. So they put a price of $400,000 on pick 19. That's what Freo did. We're going to take Will Brody's $400,000 that he's owed, and you're going to give us 19 as well. And basically gave them nothing back. I mean, they all get signed off by the AFL, but AFL knew what they were doing. It's a salary cap dump, and giving the bloke an opportunity, he wasn't going to be any value to them this year. They weren't going to play.
You think he can be a player, Will Brody?
He was a really good junior, but only what I hear is that he was a bit lazy up there, and he needs to put his head down his bum up and get the best out of his abilities when he gets to Frio. So great deal by Frio. They get that coveted first pick in the second round, which we've already talked about. It's got some value to it. The problem was for Frio is that now Geelong wanted the pick 19. So they thought the 22 they got for him, happy days. Now they've got 19. Didn't they try to do the Brody and 19 with another club? It eludes me first, and it got knocked back. They knocked it back. Can I remember that?
Yeah, it was, I think it was North Melbourne.
Yes, it was. It was with McPherson.
Yes, it was. It was
they
McPherson,
tried to do the
Brody.
19 and that to McPherson, and North wanted to do it and offered him another year. North were very happy to do it for
McPherson
that pick 19. Darcy McPherson wouldn't leave Gold Coast.
Now, we've got to get to a break, but Dan had asked this question. Matty, how can Gold Coast, who only has pick 3, take a minimum of 3 picks in the draft?
They'll upgrade 2 off their rookie list, which they're allowed to do. So it's a bit of an anomaly. They've allowed clubs to do this in about the last 3 years.
And they're actually trying to get some players to go back to the rookie list
because,
from the full
because
list.
Because they haven't got enough spots on their list to put 3 new ones. Well, they might have... theirs is a complicated thing because they got 10 rookie list spots. They were going to put Brody back to a rookie list. They're going to put another kid back to the rookie list off their main list to make some spots. So without having it in front of me, I can't really tell. But, they'll upgrade 2 rookies to fill that those 3 spots.
We'll come back and we'll dissect the most sought-after name in this trade period. We knew from a couple of months out that Adam Chera was going to be the most coveted name that we thought would be up for trade in this trade period. A deal got done. We'll work our way through that on the other side of this. 1-300-736-736. And off the text, Will Brody will be a star at Fremantle. And as Matty said, if he goes and sidles up next to Nat Fyfe for a pre-season.
And maybe
pick whoever their best runner and trainer is and just say, I'm going to spend all my pre-season with you. We will wait and see what happens. New beginnings, new horizons. It's a big part of what trade's all about. This is the SEN trade deadline for Tyre Power. Family safety is never up for trade.
Carlton's obviously a very strong club. A lot of history behind it. I think at the present moment, there's so much excitement about the group and obviously a lot of changes have happened over the last few months there, and I just really want to be a part of it and feel like they've got the core group there, and I can't wait to work with them and start to build something special. And I know they're all hungry for success, fans included, and so am I. So just can't wait to be a part of it.
Yeah, look, we're really excited. He's obviously was a high pick himself, and he's hardly missed. I think he's played 76 odd games in the 4 years at Fremantle. So we see him as a 10-year player for us in the middle of the ground and really complement what we've got. The ability to run both ways and use the ball really well. I think his kicking inside 50 especially is a highlight of his game. So we're really excited with what he can bring.
Adam Chera and Nick Austin. So Adam Chera went from Fremantle to Carlton. We knew a couple of months out. He's been one of the most talked about players for the year. The offer was on the table very early on from Fremantle, and the longer he held off on signing that, the more likely it was that he would ask for a trade. That happened. Nick Austin, the Blues head of list management, talking about how excited they were to get Adam Chera, who said he did give Melbourne a chance to pitch. It was always a big question, though. Matt Rendell, Sam Hargraves here on SEN Trade Deadline for Tyre Power. Family safety is never up for trade. How could Melbourne get that deal done? In the end, he nominated Carlton as his club of preference. And one of the really nice parts of this story, Matty, is the fact that we're led to believe that about six Carlton players agreed to take a pay cut in order to get his deal done, which is rumoured to be around the 7 to 7.50 mark. He was taken at pick 5 in his draft year. He's had 2 top 5 best and fairest finishes. He looks primed and ready to go to enter the next phase of his career. You'd think he'd be starting in the midfield come round 1 for Carlton.
Quality player, quality person. Obviously want to go back home. They've if there's a country in the world that's got a stronger family bond unit than Italians, I want to know which country it is. And we, you know, that's just a fact of life. Us Aussies can't get out of home quick enough, but the Italians, you know, they got a massive attraction, the family unit, and stick together. And so he wanted to go back home for that reason, to be closer to his, to be closer to his family. He probably goes back and lives with his parents, I suppose. So, great get by Carlton.
Our producer Giulio is Italian and he's nodding along. So
yes, he's agreeing with me. He knows. Yep. So a great get by Carlton, and they had to fight off a few who came late, Richmond and Melbourne in the end, like top clubs, would have been enticing. He probably looked at them, but Richmond could have got a deal done as well. But he clearly had committed to Carlton very early on, and what I love about it, he didn't waver. He stuck with them.
Yep. But there's a reason for that, though, isn't there? Because if he looks at Melbourne and Richmond, he's not guaranteed to start in the middle with them, but he is at Carlton.
I would think at Richmond, he probably would have been.
Okay.
I'm assuming Cotchin might go somewhere else for his last year, that's all.
Okay.
But I could see him at Richmond, probably not Melbourne. But, it's a good deal. It worked out really well. That was a solid, you know, pick 6. It took a little bit longer than it should have, but, yeah, I agree with that. Ticks all round for both clubs there.
Yep, Freo got the first round pick 6 and a future third round selection. They haggled for a while. Put a pin in that, Matty. We'll come back and keep working through that on the other side of this. How did your club fare? What have you made of your club's trade period? 1-300-736-736-0433-98-1116. We would love to hear from you as we recap the last week and a half of this AFL trade period. We're going through trade by trade before Matt Rendell runs his eye over your club's list. There's plenty more still to come on the SEN trade deadline. Welcome back, Sam Hargraves, Matt Rendell, SEN Trade Deadline for Tyre Power, here to help you stay safe on the road. We're going through in chronological order, trade by trade, before we work our way through every club and where they sit ahead of the draft and after this trade period. There's the delisted free agency period that comes up too. So there's still plenty of dates and plenty of opportunities to make moves. AFL Now, we know, is a 12-month of the year business. Matty, before we get to the next of the moves made and the drafts hands exchanged in this trade period, we're going to go to the phones, 1-300-736-736. Muzz, a good friend of the show in Geelong, a very proud blue bagger. Hello, Muzz.
Hello. I first of all want to thank you and your colleague there for all the trade news that you've given me as a blind man in the last fortnight. It's been awesome on Dwayne's show and the Brekkie show and the mid-morning show, and Sam, it's been awesome.
Thanks, brother.
My question is, why are you all giving Carlton a hard time on signing up the Sydney bloke for 4 years? Is it too much, or isn't he good enough?
Look, 4 years he'd be really happy with. I thought...
Oh, yeah, he'd be wrapped.
He'd be wrapped in a 4 years for a free agent coming out on pretty good dough. It's semantics. Look, most people would have thought it was going to be three, but to prize him out and so other clubs didn't get him, they probably had to offer him four. We're not particularly worried about it. It was a surprise, to tell you the truth, more than anything.
Kane's probably been the strongest critic on it, and his view was that he wasn't offered anything by Sydney, so you didn't probably need to give him that much in order to get him, given that he didn't have an offer from Sydney. I don't think anyone's arguing, Muzz, that he's a good pickup.
Yep.
And he's going to play an important role in what they're doing, especially in terms of culture.
Yep.
Because he's going to be great for the culture. He comes from a very good culture.
Yep.
And he will bring a lot of that with him. And I think when people like Brian Cook and Michael Voss look at this guy, they'll be like, yep.
He can help us
with what we're going to want to implement.
It's only minor, Muzzer, but we needed something to talk about.
And I think it was also too, because our radar goes up, Muzza, when it comes to Carlton. So Luke Sayers has tweeted a few times we're a destination club, which raised some eyebrows, because it's and maybe this is semantics too, but are you a destination club, or are you just aware we will pay you more and give you longer contracts than anybody else will club? So the radar goes up when what's happened over the last few years with Carlton giving much more money to players than they've got anywhere else, and longer deals than they were going to, much longer deals than they were going to get anywhere.
And Muzza, we're also very worried, Muzza, how are you going to get Walsh in next year on big money? And he's going to be big money. So we're hoping that the Hewitt contract doesn't impede that contract for Walsh that will be happening over the next year.
And also too, the concern about salary cap, given that it's been a long time since finals for Carlton. Adam Chera, we know, and I love the fact that the players have taken pay cuts to get him in. That you would know this, Matty, from your experience in the industry, knowing what it takes to put premiership list together. A lot of times it's players taking less than they can get elsewhere.
Hawthorn and Geelong are the two notorious
Brisbane
ones.
Brisbane as well. Vossie knows that all too well. Yeah. His own hip pocket's been affected
by
that.
Yes, yes.
Harry's in Parkdale. G'day, Harry.
Hey, guys. How you going?
Yeah, very well, thanks.
I'm just glad St Kilda didn't give in too much for that North Melbourne ruckman, just due to the NGA products that St Kilda have this year in Wynn, Hagen, Owens. And I was also thinking St Kilda probably should have traded up and trying to get that Callaghan, being a Sandy boy. What are your thoughts on that, Matt?
I don't think they were able to get high enough with what they had to trade up high enough to get Callaghan. That won't be happening. You'll need to get into pick two or three for that, and they didn't have enough to do that. And the Zeri deal was going to be around future picks. It wasn't going to be for picks this year. So those picks in the 60s will come into the early 50s. And I think that'll be enough to get you to NGA, Kingin, Wynn Hager and Owens. I think it'll be enough points to get them in. So I think they've done it intelligently. They didn't really need to do anything. They've done plenty over the last 2 years. They just need to sit back and get a couple of their really good players in Patton and Gresham back in their team.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, hopefully we can make finals again next year.
They should.
Good on you, Harry. Great to chat to you. 1-300-736-736. The next trade, chronologically, that occurred wasn't a trade so much as it was an unrestricted free agency signing. Hawthorn, swingman in the end, Tim O'Brien, who's been on the list for 8 or 9 years. I think he's 27 years of age.
Yep.
Just a new horizon needed. A lot of expectations have been on this young man since he got to the club. They gave him the number 23, which, is, again, no fault of his. But the moment you put 23 on at Hawthorn, you are always going to be looked at because of the history of that number with Don Scott, Dermot Brereton, Lance Franklin. So he always had very high expectations, showed some glimpses of what he could be.
That's his nickname.
Glimpses?
Yes.
Well,
in the industry.
Well, hopefully for him now, a change of scenery where he'll go to a club to play a role. And hopefully that can be the real pivotal and turning point in his career.
And here's the weird thing about it. He was probably having his best year playing as a key back this year.
He did.
And I thought took mark of the year. I don't know about you.
I had
you.
Him on the podium.
I thought he took the mark of the year. It was a cracker. And that's what he can do.
I had Rewalt first.
Okay. And played some really good stuff down back.
He did.
And I thought they probably need to keep him. I mean, they got Granger Barash coming on, but he's a skinny kid playing. He's played 5 games.
Sicily coming back.
They got Frost and Hardigan there that are on contracts, and he wasn't on contract. So it makes a bit of sense. He's been there for a while. And it made sense for the Bulldogs having lost Lewis Young because they're a bit light on in defence too. Cordy Gardner, Keith, no stars, very good defensively, and maybe they can develop O'Brien into a third tall back and intercept marker.
Yes, can he be an Allier? Can he be a lever?
That's what I would think. That's what I think they got him for.
Yep.
So let's see how he goes with that next year because I think he's very capable of doing that at Bulldogs.
This is where Luke Beveridge told Tim O'Brien that he intends to play him, according to Tim O'Brien.
Yeah, so I've spoken to Bevo a couple of times briefly and had a pretty good relationship with him when he was at Hawthorn in my early couple of years. So, that's a really exciting part to get back with him. But he was pretty clear that I'll be playing across half back, which is something I'm excited about. I feel that's probably where I'm going to be able to play my best and most consistent footy. And that's where my attributes are best suited to how the game's played these days, to be playing as like an intercept marking defender will be the role that I'll be looking at playing.
I promise you I haven't heard that video. I haven't heard that tape. It's exactly what we were talking about.
The other thing you should go and have a listen to, Dogs fans, and I think it's a great one for footy in general, the chat that he had with Bob and Andy on SEN Drive, where he spoke about the pressure, spoke about the expectation, spoke about what it did to him mentally and how he struggled with it from time. It's must-listen stuff.
Okay.
And he was really honest. He was really open, and credit to him. Because he obviously is someone who's got tremendous self-awareness, understood where he was at, where people thought he might be, where people wanted him to be, where he, you know. So
in hindsight, was it a good move to give him 23? I don't think he had the personality to accept that 23.
Well, when you look at the personalities at that number.
Mate, he's a gentle person.
Yep.
It was not going to suit him. I'm surprised they did that.
Mm.
I can understand how he'd feel the pressure. He's a great kid. I hope he does well there. And they're going to give him every opportunity.
Yeah, I really do hope that it's a success for Tim O'Brien, as we do for anyone that gets a new home. The next deal was a three-way deal, Matty, October 7th. There was a bit of movement on this day. One of the more action-filled days, given that there was 4, 5 deals done. The last one on the day was Carlton getting Lewis Young, the Western Bulldogs swingman, Western Bulldogs getting a third-round pick, which is currently pick 52, and the West Coast Eagles got Sam Petrevsky Seaton. And this is an interesting one to dissect. Who wins? Who are the winners and losers out of this trade, Matty? Because Sam Petrevsky Seaton, and I've told this a few times, when Cal Toomey was going through his draft analysis of the 2016 draft, with which Sam Petrevsky Seaton was pick 6, he said that he might end up being the best midfielder of the lot. He's been playing senior waffle since I think he was 16, and thought that he had the highest ceiling. It hasn't worked out for him at Carlton. He now goes to West Coast. They took him at pick 6. They got pick 52.
Big winners, West Coast here.
Yep.
I really like him as a player. I mean, when I look at players and you're doing trading and drafting, go off their best.
Mm.
And his best is great.
Mm.
So go off their best and then find out why they're not at their best on a regular basis. There is always an issue. The player's too lazy. For some reason, the coach doesn't, they don't warm to him, or he causes trouble at the club, or he's not fitting in with their culture or something like that. There's always a reason why you see a player at his best. You know, you want to know why Tim O'Brien's not at his best every week with such talent that he's got. So find out the reason and go off their best. He is no way of pick 52. He was taken at pick 6 in the draft for a reason. I think everyone had him sub 10 and anywhere between 5 and 10. No one had him, I wouldn't have thought, sub 5. So, and he's played some really good footy for him. I don't know what's happened there, but a really good pickup. He's going to fit in their midfield beautifully. They need some pace, kicking skills out of the middle there, pace more, or someone who can break lines. And we've seen him be able to do that. So a great pickup for them. Bulldogs got some more points in for Lewis Young, which they needed for Darcy. And the Carlton one, Lewis Young, interests me. You know, they've got Jones, 30-31. Wiedering's a star. And Marchbank hasn't basically played for a year and a half. So I thought they were well-equipped for key backs. But they're obviously worried about Marchbank. Hasn't played for a while. Jones is 31.
He's
a younger bloke. He's 22, 23. I haven't seen enough really good footy as a key back to be able to judge him.
Do you know what you have seen, though? You've seen Ticker. You've seen him be told, hey, listen, you have to go and play finals in the ruck, which we've never had you do, and you just got to make a contest. We've lost three in a row getting into finals. You've got to play ruck for us. Go on. Off you go.
And he got stitched up by Draper in the first half of that final. But I love what he did in the second half in the ruck there. Obviously, Stephen Martin came back and he missed out. But his second half was really good in the ruck on Draper. Mm. He was really throwing him around like a rag doll and he really fought back. So there's a lot to like there. He's not going to play in the ruck at Carlton, but I haven't seen enough of him as a key back to make a solid judgment on him.
We'll start with Sam Petrevsky-Seaton on joining the Eagles and the role that he'll play there. Are you speaking to Dwayne Russell after the trade went through?
The process has been pretty smooth, to be honest. I've been in and around the facility yesterday and I'm about to head in today and hopefully make myself a bit comfortable with the joint already and I mean, just head in for a gym session. So I spoke to Simo when was about, I think the day I got traded and a few days after that. But I think he's still on holiday at the moment, so I look forward to chatting to him pretty soon.
Did he tell you where he's thinking of playing you?
Yeah, that was a fair idea. I think where I play my best footy is through that midfield forward role. So, you know, if I can contribute to the team playing that role, and hopefully, play some good footy and contribute to the team in those positions.
Sam Petrevsky-Seaton gets to go home, and I think the pre-season is going to be a really important one for him.
Well, home's not necessarily Perth. He's from Halls Creek. Well, it's a fair way away.
You're 100% right. Home state, I should have said.
Home state. And he actually didn't spend much time in Perth. I reckon he was only there a year, maybe.
Year or two? Was he two years of Waffle Seniors?
For some reason, I thought it was a year. They might have brought him down for some games in the previous year, but he actually lived there for a year, I think.
Lewis Young on switching clubs and joining Carlton on a 2-year deal. Spoke to Trade Afternoons on AFL Trade Radio.
A lot of work went in the background with the Blues and they just sounded like a really, really great club, a really great group of guys and a lot of excitement around the group and the new wave that they're taking. So I really wanted to be a part of it.
And your best position, I've got to ask you, I mean, is it you've played ruck? You've played forward. You're arriving at Carlton, correct me if I'm wrong, as that third tall, if you like, as a defender. Is that where you think you play your best footy?
Yeah, I believe so. I think I've played a lot of different positions recently, and versatility is something that I can I really thrive for just because it really helps out the team if something goes wrong or if there's a need at a different position. But, yeah, I do see myself playing as that third tall and potentially playing on those bigger key forwards. That's what I'm hoping to do for Carlton.
When did you make the decision, Lewis, do you want to leave the Dish Lickers? You had a taste of finals footy, narrowly missed out on playing in a grand final this year that looks like some sustained success coming up at the Dogs. When did you decide that you wanted to make the move to the Blues?
It was probably after the season. I really invested myself in the finals. I played two finals and then was unfortunately missed out. So I was really invested in the final series and really turned away all contacts really with my management and my team. So after the season, I went back and spoke to my family and my management, and we felt that it was the right time for me as a player to make the move. And yeah, I'm really happy that I've done it.
Lewis Young speaking to Sam Edmund and Adam Cooney on Trade Afternoon. So he finds himself at a new home. So that was part of a three-way deal. When we come back, we're working our way through the deals done of this trade period on SEN Trade Deadline for Tyre Power. Here to help you stay safe on the road. Your input, though, much greatly appreciated and sought after. 0433 98 11 16 on the temper text. 1300 736 736 is the number. We'll keep working our way through your calls and your text and the trades as they rolled out. And then Matt Rendell will just work through each club and where they're situated at the end of this trade period. Did they fill the needs that they had, or is there a bit of work for them to do with the draft around the corner next month?
Super excited to be joining the Tigers and can't wait to get down to the club and meet the players, coaches and staff and get stuck into pre-season. Looking forward to a big 2022 and can't wait to have you guys back in the stands.
So that was Robbie Tarrant, now a Richmond Tiger. It was one of the more interesting players whose name came up during this trade period when a lot of talk around would Richmond look to take a Daniel Talia, given the retirement of Dave Asprey, and it was Robbie Tarrant that ended up being the player that filled that void. So 174 games for North Melbourne. He was pick 15 in the 2007 draft, came through the Bendigo Pioneers, South Mildura boy, now finds his way to the Tigers. That deal was done, the first deal of the 8th of October, as we work our way through every deal done on the SEN Trade Deadline for Tyre Power, here to help you stay safe on the road. So the Tigers get Robbie Tarrant, a third-round pick, currently pick number 40, and a future second-round selection. North Melbourne received Callum Coleman-Jones, and that one would have stung Richmond after they lost Marby or Chole. They got two third-round picks, North Melbourne, currently 42 and 47, and a future fourth-round selection. So a lot to work through in that particular trade sandwich, Matty. A lot of ingredients. Who got the better of it?
I think probably Richmond, just for the fact that I'm not sure North had to give up a future second. Was it a future second they gave up there?
Richmond got Robbie Tarrant, a third round pick, which is currently pick 40, a future second round from North Melbourne.
I don't know that they had to give up the future second, considering they were giving up, they got 40 and they got Tarrant. And they chased Tarrant. A good get for them to get Tarrant. They need a replacement there. They got Bolter coming back off a knee. Obviously Grimes there. So a good get for Richmond. He's got easily a couple of years left in him.
He makes a he's 2016 best and fairest Sid Barker medal. But one of the things about him, Matty, he's going to be able to play either the designated driver role. Or he can, if they've got Bolter injured or maybe Grimes injured, he can play the intercept role as well. So he's got strings to his bow as a key defender.
And there's still a massive chance to win a flag too.
Yep.
No, that's a good deal. Coleman Jones, they've got in to play as forward ruck, mainly take over from Goldstein and ruck. I haven't seen him ruck enough to say whether that's a winner. I know I've seen him ruck at the forward line, but it's not playing on ball all game and, you know, copping the big fella. So I think he needs to get fitter and stronger to be able to play that role. But we saw enough of him playing in the forward line at Richmond to know that he can be a good, really good player. And, you know, with Larky up there, that's a good foil for him. Larky desperately needed someone to help him out there. He did a super job last year, I thought, Larky. So good building move. Probably just Richmond, because I'm not sure that North had to give up the future second. Because that's a good pick, the future second for North. You've got to think they're going to finish in the bottom half a dozen again.
So that's a good one for Richmond to land, isn't it? So he's kicked 11 goals in 9 games. Callum Coleman-Jones, what I'm really liking about North Melbourne is, Matty Rendell, is they're building a really handy selection of hyphenated players. It's a plethora that they've got. So we can just think next year that Luke Davies-Uniacke is going to be maybe giving a little handball after a contested ball win to Jason Horne-Francis, who's hopefully going to deliver inside forward 50 to Callum Coleman-Jones.
We're seeing more of these hyphenateds, aren't we?
I love it. I give a Ivor Warne-Smith award out that this was the first year of it to the best player with a hyphenated name. Luke Davies-Uniacke was the runaway winner.
Yeah.
Big second half of the year. So that's very exciting from a personal and highly stupid point of view.
Yeah.
So that was the first deal done on the 8th, and then we had to wait a couple of days. We had a lull, Matty, between the 8th and the 11th. But this was another one that came early on and was discussed, that Pat Lipinski, who dominates at VFL level, just and understandably so, can't crack the starting mid or really even the team at the Western Bulldogs, who are blessed with an abundance of midfielders and inside midfielders. And he wants to play as an inside mid, but he's got run and carry attributes well. So he goes to the Pies. Western Bulldogs get a third round pick, currently pick 43. What did you make of it?
Yeah, Bulldogs are looking for more picks for Darcy. So that's shored up that area for him. So I think it's just it's a win-win by both. Lipinski will play most of the games for him. You got to think, yeah, he can play in that role. Side bottom and Pendlebury might find other spots for them now, you know, coming to the end of their career. They've still got a couple of years left in them, both of them, but he's a young fella, Lipinski, and he's going to add to their young midfield stocks.
He will. He spoke to Bob and Andy on SEN at the time about why he'd left the Bulldogs.
I just think, you know, I was playing a lot of VFL and I felt like, you know, I was dominating that competition, it felt like, this year, and still wasn't getting a chance. So I think I just from that, I really just wanted a fresh start, because, you know, there's such great players at the Bulldogs in the midfield and none of them are going anywhere anytime soon. And I really just want to take a chance and, you know, hopefully get more consistent AFL time. So I think you've got to look at that, and that was probably another main reason, you know, just the quality of AFL mids and all Australians and, you know, superstars at the Dogs. It's going to be always tough, but there's still, you know, some really great players at Collingwood that I'm keen to learn off and, you know, be involved with. So, yeah, it's just exciting.
Pat Lipinski, who's joining the Pies. Note to anyone that gets traded after requesting a trade, and not that players don't now understand the business of football, but if you are going to say, hey, I don't want to play here anymore, when you get your first chance to do an interview, pump up the people that you've left as much as you possibly can. He did it beautifully there, Matty. Pat Lipinski talked about all Australians and greats of the game, and that's exactly how you do it.
Oh, I love how he said he dominated the VFL too.
Exactly. You've got to remind them exactly what they're getting, but at the same time, give a big hug to the people that you've just left. It makes it very hard. It's very hard to be angry at someone when they're praising you to that extent. But it's a good pickup.
That's a win-win for both because Bulldogs need the points.
So Gary has come back with a great contribution and much appreciated. Positive reinforcement here, Matty. Dawson, if drafted now, would be top 15. This is about Jordan Dawson, who has got his way to the Adelaide Crows. It took a long time to get that deal done. Sydney receive a future first-round selection. I agree with Gary that he's a very, very good player, Jordan Dawson.
And if he's in next year's draft, he'd be the same, and that's what probably they're going to get.
Yeah.
Sydney. Well, 15. At worst, it's going to be 18.
Yeah.
Mm.
But given that we're probably not expecting Adelaide to jump up too much, that could be a pretty good pick for Sydney.
No, they've got Melbourne's first round.
Sorry, just in brackets here, the part I didn't read, tied to Melbourne. Thank you very much. Read the whole sentence. There's a lesson for me if I'm dealing them out.
I wonder why you're looking at me quizzically.
Yes,
at 18 is the worst it can be.
Yep, you're 100% right. If only we could take that back. So, couldn't agree more with that one.
He's got you rattled, Gary.
Oh, please. That's very good from you. That's very good. But what he does do is he fills a position that's going to be so handy for Adelaide, because the way that they play, he's perfect for.
Yeah, absolutely. Wing halfback, third tallback, even fourth tallback, but wing halfback, and you know, Tilthorpe and Tex and Fogarty are going to be so happy next year as he spots them up.
So that was the first trade done today after a couple of very lean days, which we said a couple of times during this trade period. The SEN trade deadline for Typeout here to help you stay safe on the road. We'll work through the final day of trades on the other side of this. And before Matty goes, he is going to take us through each club and just quickly give us a mark on how they performed in this trade period. This is the SEN Trade Deadline for Tyre Power, here to help you stay safe on the road. Question off the text, 0433 98 11 16, for you, Matt Rendell. And thanks for your kind words to Mari in Fitzroy. He had a nice little note on the bottom of that, which I'm greatly appreciative of. But this is to you. Wondering if you reckon if either of the Pies pickups will be regular first 22 next season, and what you both think of our mid-season draft pick, Ash Johnson, who we didn't talk about, who was a key forward, speaking of Halls Creek. Mari and Fitzroy, what do you think? So we just spoke about Lipinski. Kruger we spoke about earlier, and Ash Johnson.
Lipinski, definite play. Kruger, I think, so it'll be Cameron or Cox, Majacek and Kruger. I think that'll be the three tools up there. So he'll get every opportunity in the forward line. He's going to be a runner up there. He's going to be mobile, much like Majacek. So how they work that remains to be seen. Ash Johnson, now, he came in the mid-season draft and broke his finger straight away and basically missed the rest of the season. He's a real talent. Watch this bloke next year. He can seriously play. So he plays that hybrid forward line marking type player like Shane McAdam. So a person called Shane Radbone from Adelaide bought three Aboriginal players down from Halls Creek. Jai Farrar, Ash Johnson and Shane McAdam, and they all got drafted. And a credit to that bloke, how... That's unbelievable story. His wife, I think, had a connection with Halls Creek. I think his wife might be Aboriginal. And I thought, this bloke's done the AFL's work here, bringing those three people down. And they're all playing at AFL clubs. It's a super story.
Yep.
Anyway, so watch out for Ash Johnson. He's got some serious talent.
Off the text as well. Good night. Obviously, SMS is not working or ignoring, question mark. See ya. Apologies. I did have your text to get through. When we were talking about Tim O'Brien and the expectation of being number 23, had said, Sam, 23 is just a number, mate. Change of jumper made Segs and A-grade. Ruck, Sam and Matt. And I'm not sure what the Forgot Grand Final one is about. But on the number, just quickly, before we get through the trades that we've done today. Yes, a number is just a number. But at some clubs, some numbers have great significance.
Way more significance.
History. And...
We should go through that one day.
Would you agree that there is pressure that comes with certain jumpers at certain clubs?
Yeah, I agree with that. I know what he's saying. Yes, you're right. But it depends who you give it to. And I don't think Tim O'Brien was the right person to give it to. You would give that number to at least someone who is manic competitive. And that's not Tim O'Brien.
And
he's got his place
swagger
on the field. Well, not even a swagger. What you first want them to be is manic, competitive.
Okay.
And anything that spills out of that, okay. So, it is this in this particular case. I think it does matter who you give legendary jumpers to. You know, Collingwood give their first draft pick to Dacos's number, but then they move into their own number after that.
I love the history that comes with numbers. I think it's a wonderful part of our game.
And I think someone gets the fullback who sacrificed his grand final spot for Collingwood.
Presta Giacomo.
There's something around his jumper. Someone gets his jumper or
someone
something.
Someone will tell us off the text, 0433 98 11 16. So the trades done today after the Jordan Dawson one went through this morning, there was a bit of a late flurry. The ruck roulette wheel stopped spinning. And when it did, this is where the balls landed for the respective clubs. So Darcy Fort goes from Geelong to Brisbane. Brisbane get a third-round pick as well, currently 41. Geelong got a third-round pick, currently 50, in a future third round. John Segler, now a Cat. He goes there with a future fourth-round selection alongside him. Hawthorn get a future third-round selection, which is tied to Brisbane's finish. Hawthorn got Max Lynch and a future third-round selection tied to Fremantle and a future fourth-round selection tied to the Gold Coast. Collingwood received two future third-round picks, one of those tied to Brisbane. That was the ruck roulette wheel. And then just after that, Sydney received Peter Laddams and a first-round pick, currently number 16. And Port Adelaide receives a first-round pick, currently 12, and a future third. We'll get to that because that's a bit more significant. When it came to those three ruck trades. Oh. Apparently they were all separate, but there are elements that, overlap.
It's just too hard to match up if there was winners and losers that with all those future picks. As I said before, they confuse the hell out of me because they're so far down. So all I'm going to say is that Hawks needed a ruck and Lynch is perfect for them. Lions needed a backup ruck in case McInerney gets injured and Fort is perfect for them. And Cats needed a ruck and Segler's perfect for them. So I'm going to say that they're all winners because they went and got players that they actually really needed. Mm-hmm. And there's too many future picks and rubbish around it to be able to work out who might have finished in front and who didn't.
In amongst all that, we got the news that the Jordan Clark deal had gone through. So this one has lasted the width and length and duration of the trade period. It's been on the table since even before. And Jordan Clark obviously wanted to be traded last year. Finally, that deal got done. Fremantle received Jordan Clark and a future fourth-round selection. A long time was held up for the space of three picks. Geelong received a second-round pick, which was 22, not the 19 they were holding out for, and a future third-round selection, which is tied to Carlton. So Sam Edmund reported earlier today that so adamant was Jordan Clark that he didn't want to go back to Geelong and that he's already over in WA. He rang Stephen Wells himself. Sam Edmund reported that that did get a bit heated, and that Jordan Clark, according to Sam, hung up the phone on Stephen Wells.
Yeah.
So there's a bit that's gone into this, but at the end of the day, Geelong have realised, Matty, that this guy, this young guy's wanted to go twice. He's got a four-year offer that's going to be a life changer. It's a career builder for him. $1.4 million reportedly worth the duration of the 4 years. They weren't offering him anything extra, and he had a year to go on a contract.
I'm glad this went through. Look, this is a win-win for both. They wanted between 15 and 27, and they got 22, sort of right in the middle. Forget about the future first and fourth, and they got Clark. So a win-win by everyone. They needed Clark to replace Chera. He's not a good player as Chera at the moment, but you never know with opportunity. So a win-win for both clubs here. The 22 is still a very valuable pick. The Laddams one, which we didn't speak about, I think that's a fair deal as well. Two that got done. Swapping 16 and 12 and getting a future third Port Adelaide, I think, makes a lot of sense. So they got their player in Laddams. Still got doubts about him being a number one ruck. For me, forward, more so part-time ruck, yes. If they're thinking number one ruck, I'm not so sure about that for a long period of time. But anyway, they targeted him, so you've got to say the win-win there as well. The deal looks pretty fair.
Off the text, when it comes to Geelong, Glenn in Highton saying, happy with Geelong during the trade period. The Cats now have four draft picks in basically the second round, an opportunity for Stephen Wells to weave his magic. And big fella, when it comes to the Lions, we the Lions could not do much in recruiting this year, but welcome Darcy Fort the Lions. Fingers crossed he can help Big O in the ruck, and we have a fit list at the business end of the season to push our case again. That's from Big Fella. So those were all the deals done. Before we get your views on those, Matty, this was Peter Bell on Trade Radio after the deal got done with Jordan Clark.
Disappointed to lose Adam, and the reasons for that are well documented, but we were thankful that we were able to get that negotiation with Carlton done reasonably quickly. And then our attention turned to other matters, including Jordan, which obviously went pretty much down to the wire. But we're really pleased to be able to bring him in. He's got some attributes that we think will really suit our list and the way that we play and our home games, particularly at Optus as well, whether that be on the wing or across halfback. We can't wait to get him in and get to work with him.
And you're also able to keep the pick 19, which was part of the conversations from a Geelong perspective. You gave up a little bit less than that. But how do you see that being played? Because Soss has been talking about the beauty of that pick, that being the first pick on night two of the national draft.
Yeah, I mean, a bit to play out now before the draft, obviously. But it is a valuable pick because with the day in between the first round and the second round, all the clubs will be able to reassess and look at the players that perhaps have slipped a little bit down the order, and then
we're assuming some will come and present some offers to us. That's not to say that we wouldn't be comfortable using it ourselves. If the player there that we really love, we'd have no hesitation in using pick 19. But you have a bit of flexibility there, and I'm pretty confident there'll be a number of proposals thrown up by other clubs.
Oh, it was a big decision. In the end, really, we only explored the option of doing a trade because of we had great respect for Jordan. He came to us and said that he understood that he's contracted and would be happy to come back and play next year. But if there was an opportunity to do a deal that benefited everybody, he would like to go back to Fremantle. And it's fair to say Andrew Mackey, who managed the whole negotiation here at the club, along with David Walls from Fremantle, were in dialogue all through the week. It was very respectful. And we think we've done a deal now that's reflects the value we place on Jordan, and we wish him all the best for the future.
These situations can become heated, and there was a Sammy Edmund report today that there might have been a quite a tense conversation between yourself and Jordan. Can you take us through what happened there, please?
Yeah, that's just simply... Well, it didn't happen. Jordan and I had a conversation, but there was nothing tense about it. It was not heated. So, yeah, that's not quite the truth.
Goes with the club's blessings, yeah?
Well, he does. As we, as I said before, he would have been very happy to come back. We would have loved to have Jordan back here. But when a player asked to go, and particularly this is the second year in a row that he's been asked to go, we were very respectful of that. And we wouldn't have just let him go for any old deal. It was a good deal that we think reflects the value we placed on Jordan. And to have pick 22 and a future third pick is a good hand for us in not only this year, but next year as well.
So that was Peter Bell first, Stephen Wells second from Fremantle and Geelong, respectively. Matty, as we go to the break and come back, Troy and WA has got a question for you. Yep. We've gone through every trade that's happened. Now all that's left to do is to get you to give your assessment of each club. We'll rattle through those quickly before you go. But just in clarification of what Collingwood do with their numbers, we've just been told by a couple, and thank you. Very, very smart, the people that listen most.
Yep.
So the number 35 goes to the first drafted at the Pies due to Presti's sacrifice. However, obviously it was Peter Dacos' number as well. However, I really think once Nick Dacos receives it this year, I reckon he will keep it permanently. That's some clarification and an opinion in one text. So we got a bit of both.
Yeah, well, we'll wait and see what happens. He'll do it justice, I know that. Nick.
Absolutely. Hey, when we come back, Troy and WA, your question is to do with Hawthorn. Never has a team been more prominent during a trade period that they featured in so little. We will get to the bottom of that.
That's gold.
On the other side of this, SEN trade deadline for Tyre Power, the most wanted deal on the trade table. Great race. Sale now on.
Want to witness the world's biggest football game? Head to iCanWin.com.au, predict Australia's score with a crystal ball, and it could be you and a friend at the FIFA World Cup Qatar 2022 semi-finals, all thanks to McDonald's. Maccas, together and loving it. TNCs apply.